Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston. And I'm not alone today. My good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. How are you, Father?
Hey, Ken. Hello to all of our listeners. And I really want to thank everybody for all the prayers and all the texts and the phone calls and all the food that was sent to me. It's amazing. You know, you hear people miles away, like an hour and a half. Whatever you need, Father, I'll be right down. I'm going to drive an hour and a half to bring me a quart of milk or something and drive an hour and a half back. But you really see the Lord in everything, Ken. It's with so many blessings, and I'm happy to be back in the saddle once again.
Awesome. Before we get started, I just want to let you know about the upcoming retreat that Kathleen McCarthy has at the Malvern Retreat House. She's going to be joined by our Friday host, Monsignor Stephen McHenry, out at Malvern, Rekindle the Fire Retreat, February 7th to the 9th in the Family Life Center. The theme, it looks like, is "For This Reason I Remind You to Kindle Afresh the Gift of God Which Is in You." It's taken from 2 Timothy. It's $295 if you come by yourself, $255 if you pair up with somebody. And it should be an awesome weekend. Again, it's not this coming weekend, but the following. As far as I know, you can still register online. Visit malvernretreat.com. Or call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400 if you have any questions. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for all of us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that allows Father and I to be here on Wednesday afternoons. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who shows up. You can learn more about the ministry at our website. It's Our House Ministries. All spelled out, that's ourhouseministries.org. If you're interested in getting an email on Thursday mornings with the highlights from today's shows, along with links to the recordings, I'd encourage you to subscribe to my Substack account. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. I try to get that out by noon on Thursdays so you can have an idea of what we talked about today. Our Mount Tabot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following daily mass, which starts at 8:30 and open until about 4:30 on both days. Next week, I believe we should be resuming the Mount Tabot Holy Hour and Benediction that begins at 3 o'clock on Tuesdays, and we'll continue to have a rosary at 4 o'clock there in church by the Mount Tabot Shrine. If you're going to come down, get in touch with us through that website, ourhouseministries.org. Let us know you're coming, and we can make arrangements to meet you in church. Plans are underway for the centenary celebration of the passing of Mount Tabot, which will take place in just a few months now, in June. We finished up almost all the filming yesterday. One more interview to be done down in Florida in March, and then our producer, Bill Rose, over at Joyful Films will be compiling everything and somehow or other making a film out of all of this. If you want to learn more about the project, please visit matttalbotfilm.com. If you're interested in the pilgrimage, please contact me at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com, Ken at inhissign.com. We're going to have a pilgrimage as well. I can send you information about either the film or the pilgrimage or both. We do have the brochure. It's going to take place June 1st to June 9th. We'll be traveling west to east across Ireland, starting at the Cliffs of Moher and wrapping up in Dublin, where we'll be celebrating a weekend of activities for Mount Tabot's anniversary. All right, without any further ado, how about if we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the following is the prayer for Mount Tabot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximine Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints, guardian angels.
Pray for us.
St. Basil and Gregory.
Pray for us.
St. Thomas Aquinas.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. Don't all call at once. Now the Father's back. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. If you're calling from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially once your phone calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. Because we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break, but we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. We are currently in the third week in Ordinary Time, and a handful of saints in the calendar this week. On Sunday the 26th, if it weren't a Sunday, it would have been Timothy and Titus, both bishops. On Monday the 27th, we celebrated Angela Merici, a virgin. On Tuesday the 28th, yesterday, St. Thomas Aquinas, priest and doctor of the church. And this coming Friday, it'll be St. John Bosco, a priest. And we may get to St. Thomas Aquinas in the second half of the show. But chatting with Father this morning, he wanted to start with one from the very beginning of the year. This is Father's first appearance in 2025, the Jubilee Year of Hope. So, good to have you back in the saddle, Father.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Jubilee Year of Hope. You always make me think of the acronym for HOPE. Heaven on Planet Earth. Step up and step into the kingdom. Our Lord wanted for us. It's at hand. It's around us. It hems us in. It's everywhere because God is everywhere. I am with you always until the end of the world.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Back,
yeah. So we're going to kick it off with St. Basil the Great, and Father's going to include another saint that was included on January 2nd, St. Gregory Nazianzum. Basil the Great was born year 329. He would die on January the 1st, 379. And what St. Benedict was to the west, St. Basil the Great was to the east, and as far as starting Eastern monasticism and pretty much putting out the rule that's still in use today. He was on his way to becoming a famous teacher and decided that instead he would join the religious and also living that gospel poverty. He studied a bunch of modes of religious life, and like I said, he would eventually find the first monastery in Asia Minor. He was ordained a priest, assisted the Archbishop of Caesarea, which is now found in southeastern Turkey, and eventually he would become an archbishop himself. He spent a lot of his time fighting against the heresy of Arianism, which denied the divinity of Christ, and that Arianism seemed to come and go, but was really exploding in the church in the 4th century at around the time of Basil the Great. Athanasius, of course, was the primary, but once he had passed away, that mantle would following Basil, and it got a lot of suffering as a result. There were an awful lot of people that were buying into the Arian heresy, and he did all he could to fight it back. The emperor at the time, Valens, he was persecuting Orthodox believers, and he put a lot of pressure on Basil to allow the heretics to come to communion. And he was, as I read it, a pretty gentle guy. He tried to win him over with kindness and love instead of beating him over the head with a stick. I don't know how many of them he actually converted back, but eventually most of the Arians would fall back into line. He was tireless in his pastoral care, often preached twice a day to large crowds. He built a hospital that at the time was called a wonder of the world. And even as a kid, he would organize famine relief and worked in a soup kitchen himself. So from a very young man, was ordained to eventually become a doctor of the church. And it was 72 years after he died that the Council of Chalcedon described him as the great Basil, minister of grace, who has expounded the truth to the whole earth. St. Basil the Great, who we celebrated on January the 2nd, and as Father will probably mention, he was really good friends with St. Gregory Nazianzum. I think they were actually in formation together and would be lifelong friends. Father?
Yeah. The reason why, Ken, I want to go back to the beginning, Basil and Gregory, because of their friendship. And it's like, that friendship really leads us to the one and true friendship. Our best friend of all, like Jesus. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. And I was thinking about, there when he was hanging on the cross, our Lord, and the good thief, Dismas, at the last minute turns to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And those beautiful words of Jesus to him, he says to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. Now, paradise is a Persian word, which means a walled-in garden. And what the Lord is promising this man, insurrectionist, perhaps murderer, is that he's going to walk with him in the garden, the paradise. Like a king, he would have his garden, he would bring his friends in the garden before he would even meet with his statesmen. So I really want to talk about the friendship of Basil the Great and also for Gregory. But that friendship that's always in the Lord, I always like that. One of my favorite quotes, you can have gold ships and silver ships, but no ships more valuable than friendships. And that's what Jesus wants us to have in him, friendships. I just wanted to perhaps read something with Basil. This quote, he wrote this. He said, I have wasted much time on follies. I spent nearly all my youth in vain labors and devotion to a teaching of a wisdom that God had made foolish. Suddenly I awoke, as out of a deep sleep. I beheld the wonderful light of the gospel truth. I shed a flood of tears over my wretched life, and I prayed for a guide who might form in me the principles of piety. And the Lord sent him that guide, that friend of Gregory. Now here's what Gregory writes about Basil. He writes this, quote, our single object and ambition was virtue and a life of hope in the blessings that are to come. We wanted to withdraw from this world before we departed from it. And with this end in view, we ordered our lives and all of our actions. We followed the guidance of God's law, and we spurred each other on virtue. This is two friends. I mean, it's so powerful to hear this friendship that's really in the Lord, Ken. Mm. But here's the thing that I'm really aiming at. It's like later on, they both become bishops and doctors, and all of a sudden, Basil, he's like the archbishop, and he has his friend Gregory to become a bishop. And he's sending his friend to a different locality to fight for the church. And what happens is Gregory, he goes reluctantly. And he doesn't go to the place where Basil wants him to go. And so they have a falling out. They have a falling out, and they kind of separate. But then later on, they reconcile. But the friendship is never the same. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, you look at friends. You know, you have Trace St. John and the Cross. They didn't always agree on everything. Cosmas and Damien, Ignatius and Francis, Francis and Claire, Mother Teresa and John Paul II. You have these friends, and they spur on one another to holiness. But somewhere down the line, our friends fail us, you know, because of human weakness. Even our parents or friends. I might, you know, go home from my parents. My mom is shopping. My dad's sleeping. They're not there for me all the time. I might call a friend, and he's with his family members. I might call somebody else, and they're busy. They're not always there for me. But the one who's always there is Jesus. And that's the point I want to make. You know, in this sickness that I had, this came home to me so strongly. You know, nobody could help me. You know, I was at the edge, really, of a mental collapse. I was exhausted. I couldn't focus. I couldn't think. I couldn't pay attention to people. I was forgetting names. And I was like on the mental collapse. And nobody was there to really save me. But here comes Jesus, my best friend. And I get this cold. It's like I'm thanking God for this cold. Because this past month, I've been like a hermit in a hermitage or a monk in a monastery. By chapel, mass every day, breviary. I start having these beautiful lights of Christ, this wisdom that's flowing into my heart. But it was like I was coming off the edge, and here goes the hand of Jesus. Take my hand, Douglas. And he pulls me back, and I get this cold. You know, who would thank God for a cold? But this cold gives me the mental rest that I need, and I'm getting all these spiritual lights. But the point is, all my friends couldn't help me, except for Jesus. You know, all my friends can't be there with me all the time. They can't satisfy all my needs. Only Jesus does, you know, and he's the only one. And I think about him, Ken. It's like, you know, you satisfy the hungry hearts. Nobody else can satisfy us. Only him, the bread of life, Jesus. You know, and I look about all of his gifts, all the beauty out there, you know, Malvern, and I'll be leaving Malvern as the rector this weekend. And, you know, it was beautiful grounds. I had the deer coming up to my windows. The birds were chirping, the rabbits, the bunny rabbits, the gophers, you know. Oh, my, I got a feeling we're not in Grace Ferry anymore, Toto. The starry night, the moon. I go down the shore. I see the surface on the ocean, and it's glittering God's glory. All this is so beautiful. It's creation. It's not enough. It's not enough. Only God is enough. Only the Lord can satisfy my heart. Only that friendship of Jesus can satisfy me. And all my friends, when they touch me and they inspire me and they help me, yourself included, Ken, Pat Kennedy is listening, all my friends, they bring me encouragement and joy and inspirations and you know, stamina to go on, the confidence that I find from my friends. It really is so beautiful. But all of that is coming from Jesus. That there's nothing good that comes from my friends that's not coming from my best friend, Jesus. It's just amazing. So I really want to mention that you know, and everybody that's listening, that only God can satisfy us. Not his gifts, not all creation, only God. Like St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. I feel like singing that hymn, You Satisfy the Hungry Hearts. I think I will. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. As when the shepherd calls his sheep, they know and heed his voice. So when you call your family, Lord, we follow and rejoice. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. There it is, Ken. the friendship of Jesus. Only he can satisfy our hungry heart. And he is truly our best friend. Thanks for letting me get that in, Ken.
Yeah, no, not at all, Father. Great to have you back on the air. And, you know, don't quit your day job. No, but it is true. And the talk of friendship, I think about the friends, the people that God has put in my life over the last 30 plus years, and the friendships that have resulted as a result, yourself included, and that, you know, there's a big difference between the friendships that are in the Lord and those that aren't. Most of the people that I'm acquainted with these days are on a similar path. And it's a real blessing to be able to share with others what, you know, what's really going on in our lives, to help each other up when things are maybe going south for somebody, to remind us, you know, who we are and what we are, children of God, and support each other along the way. So, you know, these are things that I was not bargaining for when I made a turn back to the faith, and yet God has seen fit to put all these people in my life. Many of them who call in and, you know, are part of the Calyx Society and part of the ministry, it's, you know, just something beyond my wildest dreams. And we've got a caller already, Father, and it's Angelo. Angelo had called last week hoping to get you. I don't know if he's got the same question or not. Hello, Angelo. How you doing?
No. How you doing, Ken?
Good,
I don't
bro.
Have the same question. Good. I actually have an honor of God.
Ah, cool.
It's funny because I'm a professional singer, and I canter for this. I canter at my church. It's a Catholic church, but then I'm actually hired as a singer at this Methodist church on the main line. And they often use a lot of our hymns. And one of them was The Gift of Finest Wheat. And while I was there singing it this past Sunday, I'm thinking to myself, you know, these Methodists, they got a lot of crazy ideas, and I won't get into all that. And I've often felt conflicted about it because they approve of homosexual unions and all that kind of stuff. But I've talked to priests and they've said it's just a gig, so don't worry about that so much. But in any event, I'm digressing. They had Give the Finest Wheat as one of the hymns. And while I'm singing it, I'm thinking to myself, if only they truly realize what the words of this song mean, that Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. Because they have communion once a month, and as far as I know, they don't believe that he's actually there. It's just a symbol.
Right.
And then I had to change my password on my computer at work, and nobody knows where I work. So I changed it to the title of that song with numbers at the end. And then all of a sudden, I'm listening to you guys today, and Father starts breaking into Gift of Finest Wheat. I think.
Yeah.
God's trying to tell me something, and
yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Nah, that's great, Angelo. Father?
Yeah, thank you, Angelo. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, but it's out of cumanism, you know, and we steal hymns from the Protestants as well, you know, Silent Night,
yeah.
Holy Night.
No,
you know,
I know. I'm really joking
but
around.
It connects us all together, you know. God wants us together, and, you know, the truth is the truth, and we can't water down the truth. And, you know, I often said to Ken, and Ken remembers this, someday when we're all in heaven, our Protestant brothers and sisters will be there with us, and they'll come up and say, well, Father Doug, you made it sound like our religion was as good as yours, and all the time you have the Blessed Sacrament in the Eucharist. Why didn't you really pound that into us, you know? I'm going to look at them and wink, Angelo, and say, I told you so. But, yeah, that's the gift, you know, God himself and that little white host. Boy, he gives himself to us. I just, you know, when you think of his passion, you know, that's what we celebrate at Mass and in the Eucharist, his passion. It's his life, his death, his resurrection. It's a sacrifice, but it's also a banquet. But it's like, you know, when he was falling down, going for that cross three times, it wasn't a piece of wood that he was going for. He was going for your soul and my soul. And when he said from the cross, I thirst, it was for us, so much love there. All, you know, the greatest love story ever told right there in that little white host, you know, but thank you for bringing that up. You know, Angelo, you're right. You know, it's the gift of finest wheat. It's the real presence of Jesus. It's the bread of life. It's our food and drink as pilgrims to go home. But that's what keeps me going as a Catholic. Nobody will take that away from me, you know, that I'm here especially for the Eucharist, you know, for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, for in persona Christi, for the sacraments, you know, outward signs instituted by Christ to give grace. But the greatest sacrament of all, this is my body, this is my blood, and the commandment to it. Do this. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Angela. Angelo.
Yeah. Can I ask you, do you think it's sinful that I sing at their church when they are for homosexual unions? And sometimes they get really political and go over the top with all that and kind of like emphasize too much on it. But what are your thoughts on that?
My thought, I don't know if I would be comfortable, really, myself. You know, I'm a priest. I could never be comfortable in a situation like that. You know, like St. Francis said, that at all times, preach the gospel when necessary. Use words, you know. But, yeah, I mean, that's serious stuff, homosexuality. It really is. And by me being there, maybe it is like condoning it. And it's okay, and it's not okay.
Right. I often wonder about that. And in the confessional, I've talked to the priest about it, and they said, no, that's just a gig, and it's not your church. And but then I think on the other hand, there's other things that they disagree with us about that are probably equally as important in God's eyes. And but there's still Catholics who sing at other Protestant churches, and even at synagogues, they hire a lot of Gentiles
sure.
to sing. And I don't know. I don't know. And I've been there so
too,
long
right?
now. They pay me pretty decent. I've been there so long. I don't know. I've always felt conflicted about it, but I always feel guilty to leave them on the other hand, too.
Yeah.
It's a very weird situation.
Yeah.
Your conscience.
Yeah, and I just going to add, it really is a personal matter, and trying to give advice like over the air. But there is somebody, a mutual friend of ours, Father, that comes to mind that we know real well that was in a similar situation back in the day. And it would probably be a good person for Angelo to talk to. And if you don't mind, send me an email at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. And if you're interested, I want to put you in touch with somebody.
Okay.
Thanks. All right? You're welcome. Always good to hear from you, brother. Be good.
God
bless you, Angelo.
God bless. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. And we're approaching the bottom of the hour. The numbers, I'll give out the numbers again in case you want to call in with an odd or God or anything else. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. We got about a minute and a half left before we go to the break, Father. You have more on Basil, or?
Well, I can just end with that poem that I like, Ken. I often say it in my homilies when I talk about the friendship. Letter from a friend. I just had to write and tell you how much I love you and care for you. Yesterday I saw you walking and laughing with your friends. I hoped that soon you want me to walk along with you, too. So I painted you a sunset to close your day and whisper a cool breeze to refresh you. I waited. You never called. I just kept loving you. And as I watched you fall asleep last night, I wanted so much to touch you. I spilled moonlight onto your face, trickling down your cheeks as so many tears have. You didn't even think of me. I wanted so much to comfort you. The next day, I exploded a brilliant sunrise into the glorious morning for you. But you woke up late, and you had to rush off to work. You didn't even notice. My sky became cloudy, and my tears were the rain. I love you. Oh, if you would only listen, I really love you. I try to say it in the quiet of the green meadow and in the blue of my sky. The wind whispers my love all through the treetops and spills it into the vibrant colors of my flowers. I shout my love to you in the thunder of the great waterfalls. I compose love songs for my birds to sing to you. I warm you with my sunshine and perfume the air with nature's sweet scent. My love for you is deeper than any ocean and greater than any need in your heart. If only you could realize how I care. Dad sends his love. I want you to meet him. He cares too. Fathers are just that way. So please, call on me soon. I'm waiting for your call because I love you. Your friend, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Father. And I got sidetracked too. The other thing I wanted to mention, it kind of odd or God, is that they're singing "Gift of Finest Wheat" in a Methodist church. And if I'm not mistaken, that hymn was written for the Eucharistic Congress here in Philadelphia in 1976. So, you know, a huge celebration of the Eucharist, which obviously as Catholics we believe to be the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, yeah. Jesus Christ.
You know, I was thinking too, Ken, how the Holy Spirit just, he kind of dovetails us together in what the truths are.
Yep.
And I was thinking of the practice of God's presence by Brother Lawrence. It was at the time the Quietism. The Catholics didn't pick up on it so much. The Protestants did. Wesley picked up on it. They loved it,
yeah.
You know. But it was that truth, the practice of God's presence. He's always with us, you know. Our baptism as Christians that unite us together. We got so much more in common than we have so much not in common. But it's the Eucharist, as Angelo said. It's that gift of finest wheat, real
Amen.
Food and real drink, the commandment there. Last will and testimony. This is my body. This is my blood. Do this. Do this. Can't be any clearer than that in John 6. On how our Protestant brothers and sisters miss John 6,
yeah.
And how our Catholic brothers and sisters don't really get it.
Yeah.
But it's all there, Ken.
Amen.
It's true. He's really with us.
All right.
The White Host.
All right. We're going to give your throat a rest for a couple of minutes here and go ahead and take a break. Give us a call, 610-527-2906. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your hosts Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. Reminder that we do get all the recordings, or I try to get all the recordings up on our website, by Thursday morning. So if you missed a show or want to re-listen to a show, maybe send a link to somebody you know. You can look for those by noontime, usually on Thursdays. A quick rundown on Calix units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Calix Society is a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father and I get together with a bunch of people every Tuesday in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church there in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We begin at 6 o'clock with Adoration and Mass, and then a Calix meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, instead of meeting in our chapel, we go over to St. Gabriel Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour followed by Mass. The third Tuesday in February will be the 18th. If it gets bitter cold like it was last week or the week before, we may move over to our chapel, but have the same sequence of events. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be next Thursday evening, February the 6th. The unit at St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, my home parish, meets on the third Saturday of the month at the 8:30 Mass on Saturday in the morning, followed by Calix. And that'll take place on February the 15th. At the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calix meeting. They will meet on Saturday, the February 22nd, having just met this past weekend. And with Father's role as rector, he mentioned at the beginning of the show, is coming to an end officially this coming weekend. We're looking to move that unit that was meeting out at Malvern, keep it somewhere in southern Delco, and so it's close to the folks that we're going out to the retreat house. But as soon as we nail down when and where, we will let you know. Again, thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It allows Father and I to be here on Wednesdays. And the phone lines are lit up, Father, so we're going to start with Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken.
How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you today?
All right. Father, he called last week and you weren't here, so I'm sure he looks forward to hearing from you.
I prayed for complete recovery, body, mind, and spirit, so how's the mind doing?
Yeah, it's getting better. You know, I'm still forgetful in a lot of things, but sometimes, Bob, you know, I just think when I sit in deep prayer, I'm so close to God, and then I come back to the world. It's like I got to remember the world again. You know,
there you go.
Not only aging, I think it's moving closer to the Lord as well. But I really needed the mental rest, and I got a lot of that, and so I thank God
very
for
good.
That. That was
very
the biggest
good.
Gift
very good.
I really received in the sickness, mental rest.
Well, God just took a long ride with me. I just drove 4 hours from Fruitland Park to Fort Lauderdale. My 93-year-old uncle and godfather died, so I'm here for his funeral tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
But 93 years is a good run, you know?
I'll say.
Yeah. It's your granddad, your grandfather?
My godfather, and my uncle. Yeah.
And what's his name?
It was Tom Bartlett.
Tom.
Yep. And it's funny, he used to have in the summertime, he used to go way up in Maine, Winthrop, Maine, up past Augusta, and had a cottage. And we used to call it Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Very good. Only in the Bartlett family.
Oh, yeah.
Or should I say the Bartlett family?
So it's good to have you back, Father. I'm glad you're doing well. So
yeah, thank you, Bob, for all the prayers. I was thinking of you when I came on because I thought, do we talk about St. John Bosco this week or not?
Oh,
because I know you went to the Salesian School.
I'm glad that you mentioned it.
We'll hold that for next week.
Yeah, next week we're going to do Bosco.
Right, but it's a good thing you mentioned that because I know that's January 31st. That's my daughter's birthday. If you hadn't said John Bosco, I would have forgot her birthday. So you saved me.
There you go.
Stop, you need
Ot or God.
Ot or God. Here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. I'll let you guys go.
Bless you.
All right, Bob. Thanks. Have a safe journey to Fort Lauderdale. Back in 97 to 99, I think, I spent a lot of time flying into Fort Lauderdale and then driving over to Sunrise for the job I had. But
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
good
times. That's where the Panthers play.
Exactly.
Florida Panthers hockey team in Sunrise. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only time I ever went to watch a hockey game in shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
All right. You too, Bob. Good to hear from you.
All right.
God bless.
Thanks, Bob. God bless you.
All right. And we're going to go over to Tom, who's on the phone. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Ken, before I say
anything, it's the birthday boy.
With the funny accent. Where is he from?
Fruitland Park, of all places. Fruitland Park, Florida now, originally from Boston.
Yeah, I recognize it.
Yeah.
I get a kick. I hear Boston every time I hear him.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, I want to welcome back Father McKay. Boy, we've missed him. I'm looking forward to the Wednesday's gospel session and the Mass. But you sound good, Father.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. I got this little button. People can't hear me coughing. I push the button, I can hear you, so I can get some good coughs out. But it's not the cough that carries you off. It's the coffin that carry you off in. But I do miss everybody, Tom, and I miss our prayer service. I miss my sheep, you know. They keep me, I receive so much in the faith sharing. I really do, you know, that we minister to one another. I hear the Lord speaking through all the hearts of one another to my own heart. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's this month away gave me a deeper hunger and thirst, you know, my priestly ministry. So I'm really eager to get back in the saddle, back to the altar, the Mass, and back to the prayer groups. But thank you, Tom. Thank you for all the prayers.
You made a comment. You said, when we get to heaven, and it made me think, I have the time to go to a funeral this week. We're all going to funerals these days, and I was commented that Bob that we know is he's in heaven now, and Father Roger was pointing that out, and us Franciscans were in the back of the middle of the church. There were about six of us, and we were saying, you know, I said, you know, when we get to heaven, we gotta get together, all of us get together, and remember what Father Roger said. You know, his Father Roger said he's going to have hair, and we're going to be young. And I asked the question. I said, how old do you guys want to be? And I said, I want to be 22. And Pia said, I want to be 32. That's when she met Doug, she said. But it's something to contemplate, heaven. It's something we all have to think about.
Yeah, Tom. What's Bob's last name, Tom?
Bob Buding. B-U-E-D-I-N-G.
Oh, yeah.
This is Liz.
Buding.
Spiritual director, Liz.
Yeah, I wish I could have been
79.
There for Liz.
Yeah.
But Bob, I light a candle for
so
Bob.
Anyway, I had
a
to call in, and really look forward to seeing you again.
The
and
St. Stephen's,
getting
the
back on
the.
You're both talking. Hold on.
Right after Christmas Day, but died during the Christmas octave, so it's like dying on Christmas Day itself. But
that's
Bob,
right.
God bless him.
Very good.
Okay.
Always good to hear from you, Tom. Thanks for the call, brother.
You bet.
All right. Bye bye now. All right, all the phone lines are clear. If you want to call, the number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free at 888-343-2484. We had mentioned at the top of the show that if we had time, we were going to get to St. Thomas Aquinas, and it looks like we may have a little bit of time, Father.
Yeah, I do have an Ot or God.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. That was the one I told you about that I was just amazed because as I was recovering here, I would listen to Inner Sign, and I was listening to our replays, you know, and I was hearing you and hearing so much good wisdom and everybody and listening to the callers. But it was Friday, I went to tune in for Monsignor McHenry because Monsignor McHenry, you know, as you get older, you hear things over and over and over again. But whenever I hear him, there's always something new, a new light for me. So So I listened to him, and then went downstairs for something, and I was coming back up, and the radio show was still on. Here was a replay, and it was the replay for you and me, and it was the one for St. Francis de Sales. That's why we didn't do them today, because it was a great radio program. I listened to it. I said, wow, it's pretty good listening to this Father McKay and Ken Johnston, you know, and all the callers in there that I was actually, you know, soaking in all the wisdom. But in the beginning of the show, it was the honor of God is this, that Nick Campione, I had called him the day before, and I said, I know Anthony's birthday is tomorrow, on January 24th, and I just want you to know that I'm going to be offering Mass for Anthony, and I'm going to have his holy card on the altar and have all that. And so I knew that was his birthday. Well, came January 24th, it was a Friday, and it was a year ago. And all of a sudden, the beginning of the show, Ken, was, Ken, first of all, I'd like to pray for Anthony Campione, who's with God, but who's celebrating his birthday today. And it was John Leuzzi, too. And it was like, that was the exact day. And it was like, if he was listening to the radio program, it sounded that it was live, because it was actually his birthday. So I really thought that was honor God hearing that, you know, especially like Anthony Campione. It's just like he's saying, Father, I'm praying more for you than you're praying for me. Yeah, I'm home, you know, with my mom and dad and all the loved ones, and we're waiting for you. I said, you know, Lord, take me home, but not yet. Always remember the priest in the parish, Ken. He asked the congregation, how many people here want to go to heaven? All the hands went up. He said, how many want to go today? All the hands went down. But we all want to go to heaven, but not yet, Lord. So much more work to do for the salvation of souls, God's honor and glory, and for our own sanctification. But that was my honor of God, Anthony Campione.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I can't remember if I shared this one last week. If I did, I apologize to the listeners. But I don't know if you had heard of Father, but I had a group of people over the house Sunday a week ago for our friend Father Wackerman. He's leaving St. Luke's in Glenside and heading up to Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Feasterville. And despite the snow, 10 people, I guess 8 people plus Sue and I, were together for dinner. And I had remembered right after dinner that I had something upstairs for one of the people that was there. And so I run upstairs to get it. And when I come down, they had passed a reliquary around the table. And apparently it was something that Father Wackerman had. And I didn't know what was in it. And so I give the box to my friend Maureen, and she opens it up, and she's like, I can't believe this. And here, what was in the box was a relic medal of St. Honorable de Francia, who was Louisa Picaretta's, or one of her spiritual directors. And I had picked up a similar medal a few months back, and here a second one came up on eBay, so I grabbed it. And the otter God is that when that reliquary got passed around, one of the things in it was the exact same medal, and Maureen had given it to Father Wackerman that week, and it was the only one she had, so she gave up the only medal she had. And here within 5 days I replaced it with the one that I had picked up on eBay. And it was pretty interesting. The reactions around the table were pretty cool.
But
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our brothers and sisters, the saints, Ken, they're always communicating with us.
Amen.
Always giving signs and wonders, rooting for us, you know, to be like them.
Yep.
That's amazing. It's all divinely orchestrated. No coincidences, only God incidences throughout everything.
You got it.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Father Wackerman. I just thank him for the priest, you know, that it wasn't for him. I don't know if I would have been able to get out of Malvern and Father Mike Davis, you know. And the thing was, I just had to say this. I was there for a year and a half, and it was so many blessings, Ken. I was meant to be there for the year and a half. I mean, it was challenging. years, you know, not long ago, it was just lay retreats, just on the weekends. And all of a sudden, everything just, it was like heaven's gravity. It started to explode, Mount Vernon. You know, the Carlos Acuta Shrine, we got the Papal Cross. We're working on the shrine for Matt Talbot, Maximilian Kolbe, you know, St. John Paul II. It's the Jubilee year for Carlos Acutis. People are flocking there left and right. We have the high school kids coming, you know. It's like 36 high schools that came during the year, stayed for the week, not allowed to have their cell phones, having spiritual experiences. It's like fertile ground for vocations. And it was such a blessing to be there. And, gosh, we made so many new friends and even benefactors. Not that I was out trying to ask for money, because I never wanted to take anything away from Mount Vernon itself, because they had their own financial needs. But people would hear our work and help us out, and made a lot of good, beautiful contacts here. You know, but it was just a wonderful time being at Mount Vernon. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line was, I didn't do any favors for Mount Vernon, you know, but by being there this on the weekend. And when I wrote my letter 7 months ago to our Archbishop, saying that Mount Vernon needs a full-time rector. I was talking to Michael Norton. He was saying not only a full-time rector, but also a part-time, like a vice rector, like maybe a retired priest, because even Michael was saying that the priests have to be more involved with masses and confessions. And when you do conferences, it really wipes you out, you know. So you know, I thank God for the friendship with Michael and Joanne, Cindy, and Mary B., you know, made some good friendships there, and never forget it, and those friendships will continue. But I just want to say that, Ken, I was really grateful to God for that year and a half to be at Mount Vernon, because I really learned so much. I grew in confidence. Like here in Grace Ferry, you know, when you talk, it's usually the common folks. But at Mount Vernon, I was talking to bishops, doctors, priests, lawyers, professional people. And this is why I found out, Ken, they're just as needy as everybody else, and sometimes even more so. But it was just a wonderful, I got so much out of it and grew so much in my faith. And I thank that God for the experience to be at Mount Vernon as the rector for that year and a half.
Amen.
I thank everybody that I met there, Ken, and all the retreats, and especially the Matt Talbot retreats and all those confessions as a missionary mercy. And I want that to continue. You know, it's fertile ground for deep sea fishing. You heard me say, Ken, when I sat down one sitting after talking to the guys in recovery, come in the confession, guys, big guys with tattoos, breaking down in tears, you know, and that one sitting, Father bless me, it's been 40 years. The next one, Father bless me, it's been 40 years. The next one, Father, bless me, it's been 40 years. The next one, 25. The next one, 50. One sitting. So, you know, it's a great place for a missionary of mercy to be. And that was so beautiful, Ken. And if I can just mention this one story, too, it was so profound for me. Right before Christmas, we had the women's Matt Talbot retreat. And it was the women's retreat, and it was the second one. The first one, we had, I believe it was something like... maybe 50 women, and it was Matt Talbot 49 for women. But the second one was 170 women in recovery. And I remember giving a talk. We had 8 priests here in confessions. Now, they're not all Catholic. 8 priests here in confessions. And I said to them, look, we got 8 priests here in confessions. Even if you're not Catholic, go to confession. Dump your guilt and your shame to the priest. And then if you're not a Catholic, ask Father for a blessing. And they did. They came. And they were unloading their shame and their guilt, Ken. And it was so beautiful. And the stories that you hear, it was like, you know, I lost my kids. I fell into prostitution. And I was homeless, you know, and a drug addict. And, you know, all this shame and guilt was so heavy on their hearts, so heavy on their hearts. And I said, look, come to Mass. Everybody come to Mass, even though you're not Catholic. Just come. And they came. A lot of them came. And I remember there, Ken, there was no organ, no music, no servers, no lectors. So beginning the Mass, I said, look, I need a server. And a hand goes up. And the young woman says, Father, it's been 30 years since I served. I said, well, come on up and make a fool of yourself. And she did.
Mm.
And then we had the readers and everything. Ken, they didn't all know the Catholic prayers. The Catholics did. But I'll tell you this. When we came to the Our Father, Ken, they all knew the Our Father.
Mm.
And I thought the roof of the chapel of Our Lady's chapel was going to blow off. Remember how the little kids, Ken, when we were at St. Richard's,
mm-hmm.
and the kindergarten kids would pray, and they let you know the Our Father? It was even more powerful than that. They were like little God's children there. And all I can think about was this, Ken. It was a Pentecost that somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit came upon these women, touched their hearts, and let them know that they were not their sins, their guilt, their shortcomings, that they, each and every one of them was an eternal daughter of God, our Father. And that was so, I felt like I was at, you know, a Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. And I felt like I was in kindergarten. Ken, I have to tell you, that Mass was one of my most joyful Masses of my priesthood. You know, I'm thinking about my first Mass and, you know, and all that, how powerful that was. That was up to par with that.
Amen.
It was so the joyful. It was the Spirit came upon us. And you just see God's love for us, you know. He loves each and every one of us, and we're not our sins. We belong to Him, you know. And Jesus comes to steal us back from Satan. He comes on a mission. And we honor Him when we give Him our sins and our guilt, and we stop beating ourselves up, and we receive that great mercy and love of His, and we honor Him. It's when we beat ourselves up because of what we've done. It's like you look at the cross and say, you weren't enough for me, Lord, and He was more than enough. One cross plus three nails equals four given. All of our sins is a drop in the ocean of God's mercy. And that, I share that, Ken, because I certainly want to continue my mission work at Malvern Retreat as a missionary of mercy.
Amen.
Thank God for all those experiences.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to get to Aquinas after all, and we've got Frank on the line who's been calling each week looking for you. Hello, Frank.
Live, right? Can you say AI Father Doug, is it?
last I checked, it wasn't AI Father Doug.
Is it a real deal?
Yeah, yeah. We got
Hello,
just
Father
a minute.
Doug, we miss you.
Hey, thanks, Frank. I miss you.
Hey, Father Doug, listen to this. Last Friday, you know, you mentioned it, Anthony Campion's birthday. I never met him, but I know a lot about him. Anthony's birthday, January 24th. My father passed away on January 24th, 2019. On that day, Donald Trump was in California at Engine 69. My dad worked at Engine 69 in the fireman. So Anthony's birthday, my dad passed away the same day, and Trump was at a firehouse in California, the same number. I think it's 82nd Synagogue, Engine 69, whatever. But yeah. Welcome back, Father Doug. It's always great to hear you, and I miss you. And we were praying for you, Kathleen McCarthy. I get her every Tuesday and Thursday, you and Ken on Wednesdays. It keeps me filled. It's better than a shot and beer anytime.
There you go. There you go.
Thanks, Frank.
Good to hear from you, brother.
But listen, if Lou's listening too late now, call in. You weren't shot on the street when I worked with you in the 90s. Call in, Captain Lou. You're not Goldbar Menendez, okay? You're Captain Lou. Call in next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, don't tell me you're busy. Take time out of your day at 4:35 next Thursday. No, next Wednesday.
Yep.
And call in.
All right. Hopefully.
Mr. Mechanic.
All right.
How you doing?
Hey, Frank.
Forget about it.
Yeah, who's better than you?
Frank.
What's that, Father?
So Frank, let me tell you, say this to you. You should have your own radio program.
They banned me. Yeah. Too many beatboards.
There you go. All right, brother. Thanks for the call. Always good to hear from you.
I'm still a bar brawler. Whatever. Yeah. Okay, have a go. I'm going to kid. I'm a plake. I'm a nice guy. Have a go.
Now we know.
Nice to see you, Father Doug.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
All right. Well, that brings us to the top of the hour. So can we get your blessing, Father?
Yeah, Ken. If I can just add all these people who need prayers, Susie's husband, Tommy, and Ann Martin, also for the deceased, Bob Bunin, Harry McGrath, for Anthony Campione, for the godfather, for Tom, for Boston Bob's godfather, and all those out there who need prayers who are suffering so much, Ken.
Amen.
Just to bless them now. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, just bless us all through the heart of your Son and bring us closer by the gift of your Spirit that we may know who we are, where we're going, where we belong, in that place in heaven that your Son, our brother Jesus, won for us. And bless us all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
God bless everyone.
Thanks, Father, for our listeners. It's the last Wednesday of the month, so in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have Divine Will Wednesday. Mother Gabriel may already be on the line eavesdropping, but she'll be joining us in the hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.